Father, as we come to your word, Holy Spirit, help us to understand and sustain and see the Father's word for our lives. May we be transformed. Help us to think clearly about our relationship with you and what we desire to do. Your purposes for us being in your name is possible. We ask you to do it. Christ is risen! That was so good. Turn to Christ and go with that. Christ is risen, he is risen in you. That is so cool. And then here's the other one, Happy Resurrection. Got that? I love it. Because, you know, Easter, I just want to go back, but just look at it, Easter is still in all of us, right? We're celebrating resurrection, which is a whole lot more important than Easter Bunny than all of us, right? Although there's a thing to that, right? Okay. Okay. So, part two, here we go. He is not here, but he's risen. Yeah, isn't that cool? And then next one is four sales, single order of food. Only need 3 days. We still have that new food smell, but anyway. Reason for sale, resident was resurrected. You know, the resurrection is kind of the most interesting place about Facebook. You ever see those? You know, like this guy is crucified and left for dead and you won't believe what comes next, you know. Did you see that? Here's what I want to do. Boy, you won't believe what happened. Jesus being born is understandable. We get that, right? Those sorts of things happen. People get born. And so he's dying for us. That almost kind of makes sense when you think about it. There is a possibility when death happens that people die for other people and sacrifices go away. That kind of makes sense. But resurrection is over the top, right? And that's the thing that's going to happen. And this whole idea of victory over sin, the sinful flood of this world, and the deep hope in that's just astounding. That is incredibly hard to process. So this morning we're focused on resurrection, on Jesus' resurrection. And to help us with that, we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. The Bible's in the pews, maybe that's a Bible, it's on the screen, if you've got the message notes, it's there. So we're going to look at verses 10 to 13, and let's read these out loud today. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And there are three truths here in these verses we want to look at and think about considering this morning. And personally, there's three R's in resurrection. I don't know how that works out, but we see that there are three R's on your message notes if you have it, right? And the first R is rejection. Rejection. Can you say that together? Rejection, right? Verse 10 tells us that Jesus is the creator. And we talked about that. We're the pastor of Palm Sunday. We talked about that a little bit. Jesus is our king who has come to us. Jesus is the creator of the material universe, what we can see. And he's the creator of the invisible. What we know to, radiation, magnetism, and so on. He's the creator of concepts and ideas, the very essence of life. And Jesus is sovereign over his creation. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, now, today, and forever. And Jesus reigns with absolute authority, absolute dominion, absolute power over all of his creation and over the affairs of men. And Jesus knows us better than anyone else knows us. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. He made us. And he has an innate knowledge of us, who we are, what we are meant to be, who created us to be. And he knows what hangs us up. And he knows what our potential is. that Jesus can do more for us than anyone or anything. And verse 10 tells us that Jesus enters into this world, his creation, and his rejected. The world does not know him. And in the Bible, the way the Bible uses the word world, it will describe humanity. It's not just rocks and trees and mountains or miles, but the world of human culture and thought and philosophy and government and intelligence and business and all the things that we do to make us human. And so we know that the non-human part of creation pays attention to Jesus. Right? When Jesus was born, the angels came. And the demons know who Jesus is. And they tremble. And even creation, even inanimate creation declares the glory of God. Disease and sickness are healed by his command. The wind, when you see creation of Asia, they're already when he was on the sea and it was storming and he just said it and it caught it, it had to obey his will and kind of still. But humanity ignores sin. Oh, God. It walks away. We laugh. We scoff at him. We hit. We pay no attention. We want to be joking. We all have a special moment. Well, thank you for talking to me. Some of you want to be another one. You can go on and go on and go on. You know, what is that stuff going on? August is coming. You want to have, well, this is one, right? We have one plan that's going on. Then we got April, which is once they pass out of basketball, so they're going to be real sports like baseball. And football happens in August, right? And so it's not going to be a change again this year. And so what's the deal? So we got all this stuff going on in our lives. Right? You know, and we're too self-important to be bothered with Jesus. Maybe it's best humanity sees Jesus with indifference. You know, Easter, it's a marketing opportunity that comes right after St. Patrick's Day. Right? So we've got this Mark Robinson, we've got Easter in town, and a lot of things that set ourselves as students. Verse 11 tells us that Jesus came to his own, and his own people rejected him. There's not enough of you know, so they received him, they did not receive him. So all of what God, in the Old Testament, including the Old Testament, Abraham and Moses and the law and all of what God revealed to his prophets through his people. The people that God has chosen to be his people out of all the people of the world and the Christ's blessing on them and the love on them and all of what is being fulfilled in Jesus and is being born and you live a sinless life and you obey God and you live the life of God's people for supposed to live and God's people that have rejected you. And even in Nazareth, it's his hometown. His ministry was rejected. Mary, his mother, his brothers, her son, they thought he'd all gone. They thought he'd gone. No. So his nation, she had rejected him. And it is difficult to imagine a type of death that is more hideous than crucifixion. This is like the ultimate in rejection. The pain is so beyond imagining that they actually had to come up with a word to describe it. Excruciating literally means out of the process. It means process. It's so bad, you've got to come up with a word to describe it. And by the time Jesus finally makes it to the cross, he's been flogged, and God alone is the study of agony. His flesh has been shredded, it's been stripped away from his body. He's been beaten, he's been spat on, he's been mocked. He's got his crown of thorns, he's been shoved on his head, and he's carried the beam of the cross at least partway to Golgotha, to this hill outside the city there. And when they lay Jesus down on this cross, they drive these 5 to 7, think about that, 5 to 7 inch long spikes. They're not just nails, just spikes, right? And through his wrists and his feet, and then they go through this severing and they're crushing the nose, and so there's these serious jolts and unnatural pain that is seeping through his body. And then his cross is raised up in the position and it's put into place and his arms are stretched maybe 6 inches or so, maybe more beyond his normal reach, and his shoulders are dislocated. And death by crucifixion, ultimately that is a slow process of asphyxiation. There are stresses and that are the muscles that diaphragm to put the chest into an exhale position. Right? Try exhaling. And just hold that for a while. How long do you start screaming for a breath? Something coming in. Right? And so in order to exhale, you know, and so you have to push, so you can inhale and push, instead of push up, you can breathe again, instead of push up on, and so if you're pulling out the nails, you're tearing into his feet into the flesh. And if you're pushing up, and then you've got to relax, and then the tension comes in, so the air comes in, and to exhale, and it just goes on, up and down, and breathing in and out. All that, the pain of doing that, and so the exhaustion takes place, and the victim just finally just can't do it. And so the slowing then of the breathing, the longer this process, the slowing of that breathing, probably resulted in a deeper acidity in Jesus' blood, and at least in a regular heartbeat. In other words, at some point, Jesus may be simply died of a heart failure. And then there's this thing about rejection. Here's a culture where people are very concerned about shame and honor and your position in the community and what people think of you. Because there's this shame that says on the spot. Which is against this reserve for thieves and murderers. You can hung up there between support training and support training. Right? And then you've got the grief, not for himself, but for those who are standing around the cross, that are watching the hearing and they're laughing, they're mocking, they're going. And that rejection of Jesus has been duplicated by every generation of humanity for almost 2,000 years now. It's completely duplicated in some of our world. And so it says that he came into his world, and his people did not know him. His own people rejected him. And the second R is reception. Reception. Let's say that together. Reception. Right? Verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so Jesus, for 3+ years prior to this, as he did purposely, has been purposely moving around the countryside, from Judea in the south, up to Lebanon, traveling along the coast of the Mediterranean, out to the Sea of Galilee, to the east of the Jordan. And he taught multitudes, lots of people, on large crowds, on dusty roads, by the shores of the sea. He's been in humble homes, in the grandeur of the temple. He's been going around. And during that time of ministry, he's been reaching out to these multitudes in God's promised land. During that ministry, he's triumphed over demons and the forces of darkness, proving that he's greater than Satan and Satan's minions. He's proven his authority over the forces of nature, calming the wind, and see all that. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind, and proven his authority over disease and the infirmities of this world. He's raised the dead. He's done it, he's walked up and he's definitely been accepted against the very theological mind of the day. He's been saved, he's been claimed to be God, and he's finally been inspired. And God the Father, God is more than once accepted to the truth of Jesus' coming on him. And so Jesus has brought to the reality that God's kingdom is aligned with our people in a way never before understood, and then the realization of God has been calling to his people. And if Jesus was crucified, is one of the undeniable facts of history. People can choose to deny the crucifixion. A lot of people choose to deny this, that he really died, but under the kingdom of the historical record, we know without a doubt that Jesus was crucified. He was put to death in exactly the manner God foretold, according to God's plan, and God's timing for God's reason. So God gave his son to be in exile among men who warned him to the work of fighting his son. To be among the scribes and the Pharisees and the cruel sons of Simon, maybe some, but the hunger and the thirst and the poverty and the desire, being disturbed and turned forth and God brought to his side. And we know that the Romans, this tremendous precaution to make sure that the police officers and soldiers and people fought by the disciples of Jesus. They worked, they were early, and they were ordered by the Pharisees and the Pharisees and the security measures of the popular and the soldiers and very long and the forces that they brought to the people. whether we will receive what God offers to us, whether or not we will accept God's offer to turn from our sin and accept God's offer. Rejection, reception, and the third R is this, rebirth. Rebirth. Let's say that together. Rebirth. Right? Verse 13 tells us that those who have received God's offer of salvation in Jesus become children of God. Children of God who aren't born of the blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of who? God. Right? This is sort of, let's just fill this up a little bit. This is sitting here away. Way to people we come to get to God. Right? First, we can be born of the blood. Paul describes the experience that most of us will have. Okay? How many of you are born? Okay. So that's what we're talking about. But John is talking about physical inheritance, that he and Abraham, we are descendants of Abraham or Abraham of God. Right? We cannot become being born a servant of God by being born into a Christian family, by being brought to church, by attending children's worship or Sunday school, something attending Christian school, or being brought up and doing Christian activities. All, you know, all that is good, but it doesn't make us servant of God. We're not saved by being born to Christian parents or Christian grandparents or being born into a Christian country, but otherwise. And second, it says being born of the will of flesh. What does that describe? That describes the act of our will. You know, for the Jews, it was like, let's keep the law. Let's do all that stuff, working hard and being righteous. We cannot will ourselves to be born of God's children. We can't talk ourselves into being one of God's kids. If we say Christian, you know, we've got to talk like them, or talk like them, or sing choruses, or pray the prayer, or know how to pray. We've got to fill up our vocabulary. Don't they love that? I love it. People are talking. What do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm so, you know, we try to clean up our things. We're here on Sunday now, right? Okay? You know, we go through all the motions of being a Christian, and while that all may be good, it doesn't make us a child of God. Third, you were born of the will. Will of men, what is that? And it focuses on the efforts of others, the will of men. So nobody, not a pastor, not a priest or a bishop or an archbishop, no one can make us to be born as a child of God. There is no ceremony or reading some creed or saying some prayer or kneeling at a bench or kneeling in front of a church or coming forward to crusade or sitting up or sitting down or raising our hands or offering a confession or saying a billion Hail Marys or being baptized or taking communion. None of that makes us to be born as a child of God. Being reborn as a child of God is what happens in our hearts that makes us God's children. It is a new birth. It's done by God in us. Salvation, our restored relationship with God, being born again, is all about God. It's not human effort. It's not our own qualities. It's not our enablement. It's not our wording. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, filled with you, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. John put it very clearly in his first pastoral letter, 1 John. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that is simple. And simple is good. It's a whole lot easier for some of us to talk about. Well, God is made simple. That's not complicated, right? Wait, you need to come into agreement with God. We are sinners. That we have separated ourselves from God by our sin, and we are totally unable to get right with God by our own blood, flesh, or will. That there is a real-time necessity for why Jesus had to die, dying in our place. And when we welcome by faith what God promises us, that Jesus, by his work on the cross, has done everything necessary to deal with whatever our sin has messed up in our relationship with God, God gives to us new birth. God saves us. He makes us to be his child. God does it because we cannot. Which is huge. What God does for us, God gives to us. were born once. We're born into it in the flesh and sin and the grown and suffering of the Lord. When we come to salvation in Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that is present at the conception of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, enters into us, and you can see, giving us a new birth, spiritual birth of the Son of God. And as God's children, we're able to come into His presence and call Him our Father. With all the trust and the intimacy and the privilege of what that title implies. With Jesus, we're heirs of the riches of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, Paul writes that one day the perishable will put on the imperishable. Mortal will put on immortality. We, God's children, will live forever in the presence of God, our Father. And there'll be no pain. There'll be no sorrow. There's no crying, no death. Whatever is empty and whatever is unfulfilled, whatever is lacking with us now, God will take care of the deep stuff within us. And not only that, getting to heaven is only part of what God has in store for us. So, God's future is waiting for us. Because what's coming isn't just about being set free from ancient things, being set free to live life as God feels we live today, even today. See, that's God gives to us life. Today we can live out God's great purposes for us as we live. I read a story about a young man named There's a story of a young man, quarreled with his father, left home. He needed to keep in touch with his mother, and he wanted real dad. But he was afraid that his father would not allow him to come home. And so his mother just took right to the earth and said, come home. And so he didn't feel he could do that until he knew that his father was going to do it. And his father, there was a good enough in the letter his mother wrote that he would hear talks with his father. And he was doing what she would do is she would tie a white rag on the tree through the side of the
And follow the people who are coming in the way of his message about the Jesus resurrection. Thank you.
Father, you alone.